Okay, everyone, I've got a great episode for you today, especially for you Razorback Athletics fans. We've got the athletic director, Hunter Yurecek, who's actually a pretty well-known athletic director in national circles and is quite a big deal. But I really enjoyed the conversation with him, and I hope you all do too. And I do apologize. I went to a function the night before, so my voice is a little bit, it's a little off. But I still think it's a great episode, and I think you all are really going to enjoy it. And don't forget to stay tuned for the end. So peace out. I've got a little special thing at the end, okay? Check it all out and enjoy this episode. See y'all. Welcome to the Colin Cast. Welcome to
the
Colin Cast.
The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Colin Cast. Today, we have a very special guest, athletic director Hunter Yurecek. Hunter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Colin. Thanks for having me on the Colin Cast today. It's a very exciting opportunity for me.
Of course. Yes, sir. I'm very excited to be here.
And you're dressed appropriately. You got your baseball jersey on.
Exactly.
Got the cream with the baseball A. That looks awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. What can I say? I'm a diehard Razorback fan.
Hard not to be this time of year, right?
Exactly. You know it. You know it. My first big question for you is, what are you most thankful for?
I'm thankful for our student athletes. We really have a special group of young men and women that represent the University of Arkansas and our 19 sports programs, and they're doing some amazing things both in the classroom and their respective playing fields as we head into the Christmas season, the holiday season. So far this fall, we've had 7 of our programs ranked in the top 10 nationally, including our football program that was ranked as high as 8th. Our men's basketball program is in the top 10. Both our cross-country programs, our soccer program went to the Elite 8. We've just had a really special fall that just kind of followed a really special 2021 athletic season.
Yes, sir. So when you kind of look at the big three, I mean, football, basketball, and baseball, I mean, those sports kind of generate their own hype. But how do you kind of go about maintaining that level of hype for some of the sports that maybe don't get as much notice? Like, for example, the golf team, which has done well historically, the track and field team, which is one of the best in the nation and has been for a very long time. So how do you go about balancing it and making sure that those programs get the recognition that they deserve?
Well, they all are a priority to us. I'm the director of athletics, and that's not just the director of football, men's basketball, and the baseball. That's the director of 19 athletic programs. And so when we have success, regardless of our sport, we celebrate the success of our teams. And, you know, we'll have a special dinner for any of our championship teams over at the Jones Center that all of our student athletes are invited to. As you ride by the Jones Center, you'll see signs in the windows celebrating championships right now for women's soccer, men's and women's cross country. If you walk into the Jones Center, you'll see those championships celebrated. We make all 465 student athletes and their success a priority. We talk about it on a regular basis. We have a goal where we want all 19 of our sports programs to participate in postseason play. So we make all 19 of our sports programs a priority, not just those three that everybody recognizes in football, men's basketball, and baseball.
My question is, when it comes to hiring coaches, do you have something that maybe you look for that's a little bit different than other athletic directors? Or is there that special quality that you think that every coach needs to have?
Well, first and foremost, I want them to be a great person, a great man or great woman that's going to be the leader of men and women. And the second piece, especially I think that's unique to here, is they've got to be a great fit for the state of Arkansas, because we are the flagship institution of the state. There's not another Power 5 program in the state. There's no major professional sports in the state. And so our state's focus is on our athletic program and our head coaches. I think we would all agree that Sam Pittman is a great fit for the University of Arkansas. As a leader of our football program, he is a head coach that people across our state can relate to. And he is as down-to-earth and as genuine as they come. Eric Musselman is a great fit for the state of Arkansas. Mike Anderson did some great things as their head coach here, but I felt our men's basketball program had kind of hit a wall or hit their ceiling and needed a breath of fresh air and some energy. And Eric Musselman has done just that. He has energized our men's basketball program, energized our men's basketball fan base, energized people across the state of Arkansas, and how he leads our program, how he interacts with our fans on social media. It resonates with people across the state. So I think that's the one thing that's unique to Arkansas is our head coaches in all of our sports need to be a great fit for the state of Arkansas.
Yes, sir. No, of course. Kind of coming into Arkansas, I mean, what was that like? Because I think Hog Nation has a very interesting culture to it. I mean, we're some of the most avid, diehard fans that the nation has. What was that like kind of coming into that?
I had never stepped foot in the state of Arkansas before the plane landed with me and my wife on board for the press conference. And I looked out the window. It was roughly 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning on a cold December day. And I looked out the window and said, I sure hope we like it. We were coming from Houston, Texas, a city of 6.5 million people. There's not that many people across the entire state of Arkansas. And so, you know, I knew about the University of Arkansas. I knew about their success within the Southeastern Conference and their old Southwest Conference days, having been at Houston. What I wasn't fully aware of is the passion that people truly have for the Razorbacks across this state. And not just, again, as we talk about our football and basketball and baseball program. I mean, we have, when our soccer program's making a run like they did, I mean, we sold out our soccer stadium for every NCAA tournament game that we hosted this year. People are calling the Hogs just as passionately for our soccer program as they do for our football and men's basketball and baseball program. And so, again, with no other Power 5 teams in this state, no major professional sports, the focus is on the Razorbacks. And so that the passion of our fan base is really exciting and really energizing. It's probably the thing that surprised me the most, having come especially from the University of Houston, where we're in the state of Texas, in the city of Houston, and you fell in line behind the Texas Longhorns and Texas A&M and Texas Tech and Baylor and TCU, and then the professional teams like the Cowboys and the Texans and the Astros and the Rockets, to be at a place where you're truly the focal point of the entire state is very exciting.
I've noticed, because I'm a big fan of the follow on Hogs Plus, and I've noticed that you're always very involved with the sports teams. You're always on the sidelines. You're always sitting down by the court. I mean, you're very involved with that. Is that part of your leadership philosophy, to kind of lead firsthand?
Absolutely. I want our student athletes to see me supporting them. I want our staff to see me supporting them. I want our fans to see me supporting our student athletes and doing that with a passion. Our student athletes work entirely, they work so hard at their craft to have success. And for me, it's really the icing on the cake to see them perform, whether it's in the basketball venue, on the football field, the baseball field, softball diamond, whatever it is. For me, as a director of athletics, we have given them every tool that they need, in my opinion, to be successful, and to watch them go out and compete and have success. That's very rewarding for me as a director of athletics. And I think it's very important for me as a director of athletics for our student athletes, again, to see me there supporting them, and not just with a subtle clap, but I'm cheering them on as hard as anybody is in the stadium.
Do you have a leader that maybe you try to emulate, or somewhere that you've taken a lot of your leadership cues from?
There's not one leader that I've tried to emulate, but I've had the privilege of working at 6 or 7 different institutions before I became an athletic director. And along the way, I tried to pick up some characteristics from each of the athletic directors that I work with at those respective institutions to build a leadership philosophy that I believe worked for me. I feel like I'm not trying to emulate anyone else. I've got to be the leader that Hunter Yurecek is, but I pulled bits and pieces from some really good leaders in college athletics along the way, and help that mold and build and shape how I thought I could be successful by taking some of their characteristics and plugging them in.
What would you say is probably the most surprising thing about your position that people maybe wouldn't expect?
Oh, gosh. The most surprising thing for me is just how valued this position is as a director of athletics to people across the state, and how much I mean to them. I'll go to a game with my youngest son, Brooks, who's 17, and countless numbers of people will stop and want an autograph or to take pictures of me like I'm a head coach or something, mm-hmm. not the director of athletics. And that's just a passion of the Razorback fans. It's just, you know, how significant this role is to Razorback fans across the state. And I think that goes back to Coach Broyles And he was a legend here, a legend as a football coach, a legend as an administrator, a legend around the country. I mean, he used to call the game of the week on ABC. And so I think it goes back to the passion people had for Coach Broyles and the chair that he sat in as a director of athletics. And now I just kind of inherited that passion that people have. It's not necessarily for Hunter Yurecek, but it's for the chair that the athletic director at the University of Arkansas sits in. So that's passionate. The other piece, I don't know that people understand truly the time commitment that an athletic director have or anyone has in college athletics from an administrative standpoint. I think everybody understands the rigors of that the coaches have because they're out recruiting. There's practices, there's workouts, there's obviously the games that they're coaching. But college athletics is definitively, it's not a job. It is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle for you and your family because of the nights and the weekends and the travel and things of that nature that are required to do the job successfully.
So when it came to kind of get the ball rolling on NIL, I mean, Arkansas was one of the kind of the pioneers for that in the nation. I mean, what was kind of like behind the scenes, the decision behind that to be one of the first, I mean, really pioneer that program?
Yeah, it was very important to me that, there's some companies that started to form name, image, and likeness companies that wanted to come represent your student athletes. But not only were they representing your student athletes, they're representing thousands of other student athletes throughout the country. And I didn't think that was going to put our student athletes in a position to be successful. So we hired a student athlete, a senior associate AD for student athlete brand development, a former track and field standout here at the University of Arkansas, Terry Prentice. And he built our name, image, and likeness program from the ground up. He had a blank canvas to paint. He went over and engaged with staff at the Walton College and the Brewer Entrepreneurship Hub, a group called Captivate that works with Walmart employees on building their brands. And we developed a very robust educational program that's now a one-hour course credit at the Walton College that our student-athletes used as a pilot program during the summer. And it really launched on July the 1st and allowed our student-athletes to be really prepared in that space. And I think our student-athletes have been as successful as student-athletes anywhere. I think by a percentage of student-athletes, we have more student-athletes, male and female, that are participating in name, image, and likeness that have agreements with various companies throughout our state and our region and nationally. And the total dollar amount may not be as appealing as it is in some places, but the participation and the education and the reporting of that participation, I think, here is better than it is any place. And it's because we have a unit, and I still don't believe that there's any university that has a unit solely devoted to name, image, and likeness, and we call it athlete brand development. We have a staff of three now that makes that up. Again, most have signed with a third party that represents hundreds of thousands of student athletes across the country.
So what do you see as the future of NIL? Do you really think that student athletes from a monetary standpoint could compete almost with the professional levels? Or do you think that there's going to be that need to get out as soon as possible to be able to make that professional league kind of money?
Well, I mean, the professional money is really only around two, maybe three sports. I mean, you're talking about the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. There are, you could go on, obviously, the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, or be a tennis professional and make some significant amount of earnings if you have success. But the NLI space is going to be very interesting. The one fear we had in athletic administration and the reason it took so long to pass was because of its impact on the recruiting process. And you can see that starting to happen now where young men and or women are being promised name, image, and likeness deals by committing to an institution. That's the one thing we wanted to try to avoid that happening. We were okay with once you arrived on a campus and you got into that name, image, and likeness space as a student athlete negotiating your agreements. But these agreements that are, whether they're verbal agreements, written agreements that are happening for high school student athletes, that's where we really need to put the guardrails up because it doesn't create a very level playing field. Texas announced a program last week where they're going to pay their offensive linemen that are on scholarship $150,000. The majority of Americans that are working 40, 50 hours a week are not making $150,000. And so, and that was announced a couple of weeks before signing day on December the 15th. So I think that was purposeful.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite story from being an athletic director, something that's really stuck with you?
I mean, my favorite stories would be when our student athletes win championships, and I've learned to not pull out my camera and try to record that. Somebody else is going to do that for me, but rather just to sit and enjoy and watch them having success and watching them celebrate, because I think that celebration, as they understand as they're winning a championship, how hard they have worked, not only here at the University of Arkansas, but in their youth sports careers or high school careers to get to the point where they can win an SEC championship or a national championship. So any of those times, whether it's here at Arkansas or the University of Houston or my first AD job at Coastal Carolina, where student athletes won something significant, had a championship, and to watch them celebrate that success, I mean, those are the most memorable moments for me as a director of athletics, for sure.
And for today's episode, it's sponsored by Arkansas Natural Beef. Are you in the need for utterly great beef? Are the steaks too high at your dinner table and you need some real high-quality beef without all the bull? Come see us at Arkansas Natural Beef in Alma, Arkansas, for your Black Angus beef needs. It's beef raised locally, naturally, and sustainably. It's not just a shameless plug. It's more. It's great beef. Contact us at skeady@cox.net today, and we will never steer you wrong. Now, of course, on a more personal note, do you think that maybe as a society, we're very close to, like, pull out the phones, like, we want to record and take pictures of everything, and then maybe sometimes we should just sit and savor the moment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's somebody that's always going to be recording it,
exactly.
Put it on social media, and you can capture that video and record and, you know, and save it to your phone. And I've tried to make a point of doing that. Sometimes I'm better than others at it, but just to kind of take in the moment and soak in the moment, and especially at a sporting event. In this league, somebody's going to be recording it. We have a robust staff of 7 to 10 that have video cameras capturing the moment from various angles. And so if you're a fan, I would encourage you just to sit in the stadium and soak it all in.
So coming back, do you have a word or maybe like a phrase that encapsulates your leadership philosophy?
Empowerment.
Empowerment, okay.
Empowerment, because as a director of athletics, I have a staff of 300 people. We manage various units ranging from, you know, our sports medicine unit, nutrition, strength and conditioning, market promotions, ticket sales, sponsorship sales, radio network. It is impossible for me to know everything that's going on and our department from day to day, week to week, month to month. And I have to empower a number of people and trust a number of people to do their jobs. But it's my job as a leader to provide that roadmap, that direction. Hey, we're going to go from here to there, and here's how we're going to get there. And now I need you to take us there, because that's the role of our staff. As an athletic director, I'm very much trying to be forward-thinking, looking 3, 4, 5 years down the road. What are the trends? Where do we need to enhance our facilities? What's going to help our coaches and our student athletes be successful? And there's so many people that are working a significant amount of hours to kind of implement our plan, and I've got to empower them. I tell our staff, we don't make decisions on a yo-yo. I say decisions on a yo-yo as it goes from the bottom to the top and back down to the bottom, just like a yo-yo does. That takes forever to do that. I tell our staff, if you're making a decision that is in the best interest of our student athletes, you can't go wrong. You don't have to ask me if that's the right decision. If you truly believe it's in the best interest of the success of our student athletes, you're making the right decision. And so I've tried to empower all 300 of our staff members. I don't care if you're an intern or a deputy athletic director. If you're making a decision that's in the best interest of our student athletes, move forward.
You know, you said the yo-yo analogy, yeah. And I really like that. Do you have any other kind of sayings that you like use on a daily basis or that you casually drop?
Well, I mean, I always drop. I don't have any catchphrases, but our mission is building champions and Razorbacks for life, and I probably say that as many as I say any phrases because that's what we're all about. And I tell our student athletes, whether they're a recruit, they're on our campus, is that we're going to provide you an opportunity to be equipped with the skill set to be a champion and Razorback in whatever you decide to do after you leave the University of Arkansas. And it's up to you how you take and make the most of that opportunity. But if you take and make the most of that opportunity, you're going to leave here with a degree. You're going to leave here having competed for and won SEC indoor national championships. and you're going to leave here with the skill set to be a champion in whatever you decide to do in life. And so that Champions and Razorbacks Your Life, you can see it written up on the wall there. I'm in my office just through the window there, and it's across from my desk, purposeful to remind me every day of what our mission is as a department.
You know, I think that sometimes student athletes get a lot of criticism that it's just money for the university. There's no real benefit to it. What do you see as the greatest benefit as participating in student athletics?
Well, I think you look at the number of employers that come onto our campus and interview student athletes because of their development of time management skills and leadership skills and teamwork skills and just kind of perseverance and what they go through in the daily grind for our student athletes. Now, not all of our student athletes are on full scholarship. We have 465 student athletes, and probably 250 of those 465 are on a full scholarship. Others are on some type of partial scholarship, and several are on no scholarships, and they're doing it because it's something that they love to do and that they have a passion for. And college athletics, 100 years ago plus, was created to complement the educational mission of a university. And that's really, that complements that educational mission, is teaching you about teamwork and teaching you about time management skills and organizational skills and attention to detail and things of that nature. And those are still valuable lessons that are taught to student athletes on a regular basis because of what they're asked to do and required to do as student athletes. And so I still think there's great value in being a student athlete. And, you know, we'll go back to the adage. I'm sure you've seen the commercials. There's roughly 400,000 student athletes across the country that compete in Division I, Division II, and Division III. And there is a minute percentage, less than 1%, that will ever make a dollar professionally on their sport. And it's the skills that those other 399,000 student athletes learn as student athletes that makes them successful in life.
Do you have a favorite book?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I have a favorite book. We read a lot of leadership books. There's a book called Legacy that was about a rugby team over in Europe and the leadership. Leaders Eat Last is a really good book by Simon Sinek. And then there's a book I've probably read three times is Lead for God's Sake, that kind of takes me back to kind of some of my faith-based leadership and how I try to lead as a faith-based man. And so that's a book I really like.
Who would you say has been the most impactful person in your life in making you who you are today?
I don't know if I could narrow that down to one person. Obviously, my dad grew up with a military background. He went to VMI. He played basketball in college. VMI's Virginia Military Institute. With the military background, he was very disciplined, taught me to be very disciplined and manage my own time. And then as I came up, my college basketball coach, Coach Jensen at Guilford College, you know, was a business degree, and I still remember him telling me, "You're not going to go into business. You're either going to be a coach or an athletic director." And I don't know if he's telling me I wasn't smart enough to go into business. I need to go into coaching or athletic administration. But he definitely pushed me towards this. And then some of the athletic directors I've worked with along the way, starting with Ron Wellman, who was a longtime athletic director at Wake Forest, and then Mac Rhodes, who's now the athletic director at Baylor, Todd Turner, who runs a consulting firm. I mean, those are some of the men that I pulled some leadership qualities for that helped me develop. And so I don't know if I can narrow it down to one person, but there are several people along the way that have touched my life, that have mentored me, that I have learned from and have great respect for.
If you had to narrow down your core values to say 3 to 5, like what would you say are your main core values?
I think integrity, for sure, is my number one core value, and I think that helps guide me on a regular basis. Passion. I don't know if passion is a value, but I think I try to do everything that I have a great passion, and I do it with great passion, mm-hmm. or it's not worth doing. You know, and I have three priorities in my life: my faith, my family, and college athletics, mm-hmm. in that order. I don't play golf. I don't hunt. I don't have many other hobbies. My wife tells me I can't retire. I'm far from it, but she said, you better find a hobby before you retire. But that's been my priorities in life. And then I've got this wristband on here, and it says, do what you love and love what you do. Mm-hmm. And that's a message I delivered to our student athletes just this past week at their graduation ceremony that we have for them. It's like, you know, whatever you're going to do in life, I said, I've been working in this business for 30 years, probably have at least 10 more, so that's 40 years. You better be passionate about what you're doing. You better love what you're going to do, because mm-hmm. you have to get up every day and do it. And so that kind of do what you love what you do, not necessarily a core value, but it's kind of a mantra that I try to live by.
So you said you didn't have many hobbies, but what would you say if you have any at all?
Yeah, it's going to go. I've got a cabin up on Beaver Lake. Okay. I've got a boat up there, and I love to escape to the lake. To get on that boat and just go out to the middle lake, turn probably some Jimmy Buffett on, enjoy my favorite beverage, and I love watching the sunset up there in Beaver Lake. It's really special.
No, of course. Do you have a favorite music artist?
You know, I've crossed a number of genres, from classic rock to country to even some hip-hop and some Christian music. You know, it's... people aren't going to recognize any of my favorite. Jimmy Buffett would be one. Mm-hmm. He's not an artist. He's not a genius, musical genius, no. by any stretch of the imagination. There's a guy by the name of Robert Earl Keane. Mm-hmm. I like Garth Brooks. I'm excited that he's coming here to our stadium. You know, I got to give a shout out to Justin Moore in Arkansas. I think his music is awesome. So I don't know that I have one. Because I like to listen to a variety of music, just depending on what type of mood I'm in. If I'm in a blues mood, I'm going to try to find some buddy guy who I think is like 86, 87 years old right now.
Mm-hmm. No, of course. So how did the Garth Brooks performance come about? Is that something that his team's been scheduling, has reached out, or was this a push from the department to try to get
both,
some more?
Both. Okay. You know, when he started doing some stadium concerts, I think his first stadium concert was 4 years ago at at Notre Dame. And then he started looking at some other venues, his promoters, and we really started talking about this with his promoters 2 to 3 years ago. Then COVID hit and went away. Then we started coming back to it. Then COVID hit again and had a spike. And then he stopped touring, but it looks like he's going to try to start touring again next spring. And he's from Oklahoma, loves this marketplace, wanted to be able to touch both the state of Oklahoma and the state of Arkansas. And so it was really a good fit for both of us.
No, of course. And it was a huge sellout. It was tough to get tickets. Yeah, it was tough to get tickets. So do you think that's something going forward, that Razorback Stadium is going to have more musical guests, or is this just kind of a one-time deal?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a one-time deal, but it's probably a once every 3, 4, 5 year type of thing. I mean, it's a significant impact on our campus community for 24 to 48 hours from a parking standpoint, a traffic standpoint. Brings a lot of visitors to our campus, what I think is a positive. But then, you know, we've got to, and it's written into the contract, but we've got to replace our football field. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a stage on the field. There's going to be seating on the field. It's going to destroy the field. We've already secured a turf over in Memphis that'll be installed after that concert's over. But you don't want to do that every year.
Exactly.
Because the grass is never going to grow and take root and take shape and be the best surface for our football team to play on.
So is there one question maybe that you don't get asked enough, or something that you always want to talk about that you just never really get the opportunity to?
No, people are very thorough when they get me in an interview like you have been. When I'm talking out in public or people ask me questions, I love bragging on our student athletes and the success that they've had. And, you know, last year was just an incredible year. We won 10 Southeastern Conference championships. We finished ranked 8th in the Learfield Directors Cup, and the Learfield Directors Cup ranks 350 Division I programs based on how your programs finished nationally across the board. And, you know, we had the 10th largest operating budget in the Southeastern Conference, but yet we were the 8th best athletic program in all of the country. And that's a testament to our student athletes. That's a testament to our head coaches and the job they did, especially leading us through COVID. I mean, we were one of the few schools that didn't have an event last year that was canceled because of something we had done COVID-related. Of course, our bowl game versus TCU was canceled. That was TCU. We had a couple of basketball games canceled, Texas A&M. But our student athletes did such an incredible job navigating through COVID and everything that we asked them to do. So I love bragging about our student athletes because it's the reason I'm here. They're my why. And when they're having success, then I'm having success as an athletic director.
What would you say is the biggest thing you want to do before you die?
Oh, gosh. Before I die now? I'm the father of three men now, 25, 21, and 17. And before I die, I want to see each of them get married. I've got one of the three just got married this summer. I want to see them have grandkids and be able to enjoy being a grandfather. Mm-hmm. And I want to see all three of them have success. And so I've had, if my career in college athletics ended tomorrow, I have had an incredible run. I've been an athletic director now for 12 years. I know I have touched the lives of many young men and women and hopefully made them better. And so in the course of that, I've spent a lot of time away from my wife and my kids. And so before I die, I want to make sure that I get to see them all get married, see them all start to have their children of their own that I can cherish as my grandchildren and then watch them be successful in their respective careers.
And of course. No, and I appreciate you doing this. Do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom you'd like to pass along?
Hey, let me ask you. I'm going to turn the interview over to you now.
Hit me.
Colin, okay, on the Colin Cast. What are your goals in the next 3, 4, 5 years? What do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, so really, I'm very interested in a professional career. So I'm interested to go to law school. I love constitutional law. I'm kind of a Supreme Court nerd. I love that. But I also love kind of this stuff. Like, I love the creative endeavors, and a part of me is never going to be fulfilled if I don't have that in my life. And so part of it is going to be trying to find a way to find a balance of that. And that's going to be the toughest thing in the next couple of years.
How about Colin's Legal Podcast? What do you think? It's got a good ring to it.
Exactly.
You can have the law piece and you can be creative at the same time.
Exactly.
Now, you said you're from Alma. Did you play any sports growing up in Alma?
You know, just in middle school. I was not a huge sporting guy, but let me tell you, I was always in the student section. I was there cheering them on, but I was not actively participating.
That's awesome. Well, what's your favorite sport to come support the Razorbacks?
You know, I'm a big basketball guy. Growing up, that was one of my favorite sports to watch, and so it's really nice to be able to come watch and actually have a really good team to be able to rally behind and go to those big games and actually have a really good chance in them. That's been really great.
Have you had Coach Musselman on your Colin Cast yet?
I've had Michael. So we've not had.
Okay, you had Michael Musselman. Okay, yes. Gotcha. You've had Little Muss on.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
Well, they're both kind of little musses.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
for sure. Well, that's awesome. So, what's been your favorite basketball memory?
Oh, Sharkensaw. Against Kentucky. I got there at 3 in the morning for a game that I think started at like 2.
Yep.
And sat out there all day in the freezing cold, and it was a crazy experience, but that was amazing, and I'll never forget that.
Did your athletic director give you some bagels or something? I forget what did I pass out that morning? Sausage biscuits, I think.
I think so.
From Whataburger. Like I brought some sausage and egg biscuits from Whataburger. That was still, I think, the loudest I've heard any venue in my career.
Oh,
was
man.
That when John Calipari got tossed for 2 technicals there in the second half, my ears were ringing. That building, Bud Walton, was so loud.
And it was crazy, just the players on the floor covering their ears. Like, everyone was feeling that. And, I mean, that I have to say, I think that's going to be a moment that I'm never going to forget. Like, it was just such a weird coincidence. To be there, number one, in shark costume, so it was already setting the pace. But to see him get ejected was just, I mean, it was crazy.
Somebody sacrificed a shark costume, and I climbed in a shark costume at that point. Do you remember that? It was outside. It was cold. Somebody took their shark costume off. I put it on, and I kind of dove into the band of sharks there, and I was an honorary shark for just a minute or two.
Yes, sir. So. No, Sharkensaw was the best, I have to say. That was the best.
I think there may have been some spirits that were flowing that day. You guys looked like you were very energized.
We were. Hey, up at 3 in the morning. You know, you have to be at that point.
For sure. Did you come to the Texas football game this year?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was another special one. Did you come out on the field?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. I need about $10 to pay that fine.
Yeah. Okay, that's why I said maybe.
Yeah, $10 per person. Brooke, were you on the field? That's another $10. So this interview has been great. I've earned $20 towards the fine from the SEC. So have you ever had a guest turn the interview on you like this?
A little bit. Maybe not this extreme, but no, I enjoy it. You know, you got to stay ready.
What's the one question that you've never been asked that you think somebody should ask you?
Okay, so, you know, I love to talk about my, like what I really, not just what I want to do before I die, but I've got this concept that I really want to find something I can put my heart and soul into that like I'm able to pass along to other people. And so that's something that I love to talk about and something that I'm still trying to figure out exactly yeah. the best way to do that. But I think that because, you know, you watch movies and they're like, you just connect with them. Like sure. there's just that yeah. kind of metaphysical connection. And so I really would like to find something to put my, like my touch on to be able to pass along and impact others.
All right. So, are you and Brooke together?
No, this is my, she's helping me out. She's one of my employees now.
Sorry. I just had to ask. I didn't know.
No, you're all good.
Okay. I'm not trying to get too personal. I just wanted to ask if y'all were together.
No, you're good. She's the social media guru.
Well, she's been around, she's taken about 100 pictures so
exactly.
far.
Exactly.
Hopefully she got my good side.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
All right, Colin, I'm done with the questions, buddy. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Have a
all
great
right.
day.
My pleasure.
Okay, everyone, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And then you guys know how to support us. Don't forget to go follow us on Instagram at @TheColinCaster. Hey, tag us. You know what? Take a screenshot of you listening to this episode and tag me in it, and I'll make sure to throw you up on the story. And follow the Instagram. That's where you get notifications for when new episodes go live, when cool new projects come up. So go ahead and check that out. And you guys can also leave a review. If you leave a written review, I'll pop those up on the Instagram page as well. And finally, don't forget to tell your friends. That's one of the best ways. And following, subscribing, or whatever on whatever platform you listen to, you guys know the deal. Okay, so I really do appreciate everyone listening to this episode. And as a little gift, okay, if you listen to this episode all the way, and I'm not going to put this out, so DM @TheColinCast on Instagram the code word chicken shoes, okay? Chicken shoes, kind of random, but chicken shoes, and I'm just going to be sending some of y'all stickers or some free merch just for supporting the episodes and sticking all the way through. So yeah, that's about all I've got. I really hope you guys enjoyed this, and I guess I'll get you all in the next one. Peace out, Girl Scouts.
Colin Cast.